Thank you, Sally, for the offertory, and thank you for your faithful giving unto the Lord. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, again, I want to encourage you to bring your Bibles to church. It's a tremendous witness if people see you walking across the parking lot going to church carrying a Bible. Tells people around that you find that to be an important thing, a valuable thing. And so I encourage you to do that. The other reason for bringing your Bible, if you're like me, I like to make notes. I like to highlight things that jump off the page for me. This particular passage we'll read today in my Bible is quite heavily highlighted and underlined and notes on it from previous sermons and things of that nature. But let your Bible be your Bible. I think it's rather important. John chapter 8 will be our text today. We're going to read just a short portion in the middle of this rather lengthy chapter, 59 verses. We're going to read John 8 verses 31 through 36. John 8 verses 31 through 36, the word of the Lord. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, "If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." They answered him, "We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, you shall be made free?" And Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever commits sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abides not in the house forever, but the Son abides forever. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed." Our gracious Heavenly Father, again today as we have gathered together, we have taken just a small portion of your word that we are to dine on, and word that we are to allow, Lord, by your Spirit to take root and home in our hearts and our minds, and then change, Lord, the way we live, that we might become that which we dine on. And so, Lord, today again, because you are so gracious to provide your word, because you are so gracious to provide an opportunity like this, Lord, we come with gratitude of heart. And we ask, Lord, today again that you'd hide your servant behind the cross. And as you begin to speak through these fallible lips of clay, that you will speak in such a manner that you will penetrate the heart and the mind of each and every one of us for your glory and for our good as we begin again, Lord, to consider ourselves in light of your word. And so, Lord, we thank you for the time together, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You have up on the screen there something I discovered just the other day. I believe Allie and Christy are responsible for this. It's on a bulletin board downstairs. I took a picture of it because many of you don't go downstairs, and I felt like this was something you should take note of, particularly as this is my first sermon of the new year, thanks to Dan for filling the pulpit last week. I listened to the sermon last week, by the way. Thought it was very good. And even though it was post-Christmas delivered, it was very much applicable to a new year. But the slogan here, "Our hope is not in the new year, but in the one who makes all things new." Without consultation between any of us, I had put on the sign outside a week or so ago, "Jesus makes all things new." Let's remember that, shall we? Jesus said, "Giving thought to yourself, you can't add one cubit to your stature." He's the one that changes things, and he's the one that makes things new. And that's important to remember as we consider this time of year and a new year beginning. What I want to look at in this passage of Scripture, there's a number of things, and like I stated, mine is highly, highly highlighted and underlined, but the first thing that you want to take note of is to whom Jesus is speaking. This is verse 31. Then said Jesus unto those Jews who had believed on him. These were believers. They had taken the inspiration of the Spirit, had opened their heart and their minds and their eyes to realize that this truly is Jesus come to save his people, as his name would indicate, and to dwell among them. And so they had believed on him. But then Jesus begins to qualify what it means to believe. That's an important thing today, is to understand what it means to believe on Jesus. And what Jesus says is, if you continue then in my word, then are you indeed my disciples? Now, you know, sometimes we begin to look at salvation as this one moment in time and then nothing going forward from there. Well, that clearly isn't the case of what your Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that you are born again by the Spirit of God so that you might follow him, that you might walk with him. The Bible teaches that you accept Jesus as your Savior, this free gift of grace, and then you accept him as your Lord, where you then submit your will to his will, where you no longer sit upon the throne of your life, but rather Christ sits upon the throne of your life, and you follow him. Paul would talk of these things, wouldn't he, in Philippians chapter 2, for example, working out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Jesus said in John chapter 6 and verse 63 that the words that he speaks are spirit and they are life. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 17 refers to the word of God as the sword of the Spirit. Now, the writer of Hebrews in chapter 4 verses 12 through 16 would tell us of what this word does as it penetrates, as it divides, as it reveals things in our lives. We recognize from the very opening verse 31, that to be a follower of Jesus Christ, to believe on him is to follow him, and follow him, we do it in accordance with his word. That would make perfectly good sense, wouldn't it? He is not saying these are two different things. He is saying these are the same thing. Believe on me and obey my word. Our slogan last year, if you'll recall, and this idea of these slogans, my dad, I believe, instituted that, and I can't tell you the year that he did that. But here is he pastored at Ebenezer, and he would come up with a slogan at the beginning of the year, and it had to rhyme with the year. And so we continued this slogan tradition, and then I believe it was in 2010 we decided we're gonna start writing him on little ballpoint. You don't have a red and white one yet. But we're going to write them on ballpoint pens so that you can be reminded of that slogan. I like slogans. I like this one. I like what's on our sign out there. I like when I'm singing a song and a line that a man wrote being inspired to write it from Scripture, as abide with me is. There are certain things poetically, and they kind of grip us. And that's the beauty of poetry. That's the beauty of music. You know, it helps us to retain it. And so if you recall, last year's slogan, well, the first one we did on pens was 2010, Fishers of Men in 2010. And then we went through all those teen years. Wow, that got to be hard. And I've shared this with you before. I just knew I couldn't rhyme teen with spleen. I just knew I couldn't come up with Scripture to back that up. But for 2022, it was "To the King of Kings Be True," in 2022 or 2022. As you look back on 2022, can you claim that? Can you claim that you've been true to the King of Kings? You know, the opposite of being true to the King of Kings would be for some people to be living hypocritical lives, proclaiming one thing but living something completely different. Now, I believe that all of us have things that we stumble upon, and I believe all of us have shortcomings, but the idea here is that you would have a heart to be true to the King of Kings. You remember when people used to write letters? I don't mean A, B, C. I mean like actual letters. And it used to be that oftentimes people would sign off on the letter with a certain phrase. I want to encourage you. This time of year, oftentimes people send out letters and they tell what's happened, what's transpired in the last year and so on and so forth. You know, how great their kids are and all that, you know. You sit down one day and write a letter to the Lord. about your life in Christ this last year, 2022. And then when you get to the end of it, ask yourself, can you sign that letter this way? Yours truly. I think it's always good to examine, don't you? I mean, we're in this process of maturing. We're in this process of growing and deepening our relationship with Christ. And I think it's always good to look back. That's one of the things I like about the new year. It is not simply looking forward, but it is also looking back. That's the beauty of anniversaries and things of that nature. And so I want to encourage you that. You look back. Is it a true statement that you have been to the King of Kings true in 2022, and now we go into 2023, and we're into this passage here, and we have something here that Jesus is going to teach that these people don't readily understand. If you look at verse 33, you see their dilemma. They answered unto him, we're Abraham's seed. We've never been in bondage to any man. How then you say you come to make us free? Now, it's almost comical. Honestly, the response, because at this time, Palestine, the place that they're living, the place where Jesus is speaking, is under Roman rule. You know, you've got this issue. It's almost like they've completely forgotten about all of that time spent in Egypt as slaves under Pharaoh. It's almost as if they have completely forgotten their 70 years of captivity in Babylon. It's almost like they're completely ignorant to the fact that you can be enslaved. But of course, Jesus isn't talking about those things. Jesus is talking about something that Scripture speaks of throughout. And what Jesus is talking about is those who commit sin become the slaves of sin. And so just like they couldn't quite understand, even on a nationalistic level, being in bondage, the question for you and I today is this great question: are you or do you know that you can be enslaved unto sin? That sin has this compulsory factor into it, that it grips us, it gets a hold of us, and we become enchained to it. Do you realize that? You know, I've got a Thompson Chain Reference Bible that I absolutely love. I've shared this with you before. It's my own personal thought, but I'm not a fan of study Bibles. The reason I'm not a fan of study Bibles is they often have scripture and commentary on the same page. And the challenge with that is sometimes we start reading the commentary and we think we're reading scripture. They were not separating the two. And not all commentary aligns with Scripture. It's not inspired in the sense that the Word of God is inspired. I like my Thompson Chain Reference Bible because it just gives me references in the margin where I can look up a particular word in other passages, and therefore I can take a particular thought that's in one scripture and I can go from the Old to the New Testament and I can find that same thought being said over and over and over and over again. And like I've told you before, God is not redundant. No, if he's repeating it, it's because it's something we need to learn. And so if you're a student of the Word of God, you pick up your Word and you begin to read through it and you begin to find things that are repeated throughout it. And this is one of those things. Proverbs chapter 5, verse 22 says, his own iniquities shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be holden with the cords of his sin. Acts chapter 8 and verse 23 says, for I have perceived that thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bonds of iniquity. Romans chapter 6 and verse 16 says, know you not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey? Second Timothy chapter 2 and verse 26 says, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 19 says, while they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption, for of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought into bondage. There's another thought within Scripture. It's a couple passages, and one in 1 Kings chapter 21, another one in 2 Kings chapter 17, that says that we are sold under sin. Paul would bring this out in Romans chapter 7 and verse 14. Those who live carnally are sold under sin. You get the picture? What Jesus is talking about? Are you getting the context? That this context is true for each and every human being? That commits sin because of a sinful nature, becomes enslaved under that sin. It's an addiction. It's an addiction. A spiritual addiction. Because Jesus will go on to say in this passage, your father is not God. Your father is the devil and you obey him. And he's a liar. He's always been a liar and a murderer from the very beginning. Those are stark words for sinners to hear. But sinners need to hear those words. Because there's no value in Jesus coming to set us free unless we understand the captivity that we're in. Jesus says in this passage that freedom comes through the truth. You shall know the truth, verse 32, and the truth shall make you free. The truth. The truth. We're living in a day and age when truth has fallen in the streets. You can talk to people on the street, you can go to the grocery store, and if you bring up the idea of truth, people will tell you they have their own truth. The truth is their opinion. The truth is the way they see things. That's not what your Bible teaches. We are living in a non-Christian culture by and large. Most of the people that I talk to and I counsel cannot express to me even what truth means. And if we don't know what truth means, how can we know that which sets us free from the captivity of our sin? John chapter 1, verse 17, I just picked out a few. John chapter 1, verse 17, now John in this great preamble of Christ, he says, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. If I were to ask you, can you recite John 14 and verse 6, I would really like to know that you could do it. John 14, 6, Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. Jesus came bringing grace and truth. Jesus is the embodiment, the reality of truth. If you continue in this passage in John chapter 14, now, verse 15 is an interesting one as we consider that Jesus said to those who believed on him to continue in his word, he says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Where would we find those? In his word. And then if you look at verse 17, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it sees him not, neither knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and shall be in you. Oh, Jesus is truth. He has brought us truth. In John chapter 18, verse 37, Jesus said the very reason that he was born and the very reason he came into the world was to bear witness to the truth. Do you know that in the Gospel of John, there are 99 variations of the word truth? 99, more than any other book in your Bible, John talks about truth. In fact, there are 25 cases in the Gospel of John alone where Jesus double emphasizes the importance of truth. Now, what is truth? It is that which corresponds to reality from God's perspective, because his perspective never changes. So go back to John chapter 8, our text for today, and I'll show you just one of the double emphases, is that a word? I hope it is. It's found in verse 34. Jesus answered them and he said, "Verily, verily," the word "verily" in the King James Version is from the Latin, from veritas, which means truth. Jesus is saying, "Truly, truly, I say unto you." Now, stop and think about this. If Jesus is the truth, if his word is truth, if it's delivered by the Spirit of truth, then it would make sense in my mind, if I want to know truth as I live in a world of lies, that I would listen to everything that Jesus said. Wouldn't I? I mean, if he is truth, if his word is truth, the Spirit of truth, if John records 99 times these references to truth, somebody once said, whenever Jesus speaks, you should listen. Not E.F. Hutton. Was it E.F. Hutton? They said, when E.F. Hutton speaks, listen. I don't know, something like that. And I would suggest to you that when Jesus speaks, you should listen, definitely. And I would also suggest to you that if Jesus said truly or verily, you should maybe perk up a little bit more in your hearing. But if Jesus should take the time to say truly, truly, don't you think it's important what we hear? Don't you think this should be underlined in your Bible? Don't you think you should be contemplating the reality of what Jesus is saying, that which corresponds to reality from God's perspective? Don't you think you should be looking at sin the same way that Jesus looks at sin and see the truth in it? That when you go out there and you commit some little sin in your eyes, little sin, it's no little matter. For when you commit those sins, you become the servant of those sins. You become enchained to those sins. You become in bondage to those sins. And as Jesus hung upon the cross, what did he say about those sinners? He said, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." What was he saying? They are compelled to sin. Now you stop and think about that. And you stop to think about that in light of where we sit today in a new year. Your hope better not be in a new year. It better be in the one that makes all things new. Because you can practice as much positive thinking as you want. You can set as many goals as you want. And you'll be able to accomplish some of those things. But here's what I'm here to tell you today as it regards to what Jesus said about the compulsion of sin. You cannot overcome it. I'm talking to people here today. I am convinced you have sin in your life that you have been trying to rip out of your own power and your own will and your own ability. And year after year after year, that ugly thing keeps coming back and you say, "I just can't do it." Guess what? Spot on. You can't. Because you're leaning on your own strength, your own understanding, and your own ability to set yourself free of something that only Jesus can set you free. Only Jesus can set you free from the chains of sin as you follow him, listening to his word. Something interesting in this passage is I was waiting on the Lord for a slogan. I know that we don't need to do that, a slogan every year. I know that that's not something the Bible calls us to do, but I like it because it forces me to look deeper and deeper into what the Word says. Jesus did not say, "If the Son shall make you free, you shall be free." He didn't say that. What he said was, "If the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Why is that important? It's important because of the other use of the word indeed in this passage. And we find that back, I got to find it again. There we go, verse 31. If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. Two uses of the word indeed in this short little passage of scripture. And when I came across that, I thought to myself, well, my goodness, that must be important. It's in the original text. Every Bible I looked at puts it in this way in one form or another. What does that word indeed mean? Do you know what it means? In the Greek, it's the word ontos, O-N-T-O-S. Do you know what it means? It means really, actually, truly free. If the Son shall make you free, you will be truly free. Remember our slogan from last year? See how these all tie together? I don't do this. To the King of Kings be true in 2022? And I asked that question. Can you look back on that and can you say you were true to the King of Kings? Were you living according to his sovereign rule and his sovereign will? Or were there things in your life that you were willingly participating in and then compulsorily participating in that you just simply couldn't overcome of your own? Well, there it is, my friends. I have a wonderful answer for that problem. And the answer is Jesus. To fully and completely trust what Jesus said. Jesus said, if I make you free, you will truly be free. You know what's so beautiful about this passage of Scripture? It's a lengthy passage. But in the opening portion of this, and I want to read it for you because this very thought plays out in front of us. You remember what John said at the end of his gospel? Let me go back there. At the end of his gospel, he said, I'm in the last chapter, the last two verses. This is the disciple which testifies of these things and wrote these things, and you may know that his testimony is what? True. This is the truth. That which pertains or corresponds to reality from God's perspective, because his perspective never changes. His word never changes, right? Heaven and earth will pass away, but this is going to endure forever. I don't care what our world does. I don't care how they decide to try to destroy this book and these words. They can't do it. It's going to be forever, my friend. This is eternal. Bring your book to work. Bring your book to bring it to the church. He says in verse 25, it says, and there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written, every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen. The chapter before that, he ends chapter 20 this way. He says, and many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you might have life through his name. This freedom, this liberty of life in Jesus' name. Go back to John chapter 8. Look at how this passage begins. It's such a wonderful story, and you've read it before. Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning, he came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him, and they sat down, and he taught them. And the scribes and the Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said unto him, Master, this woman was taken in the very act of adultery. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. What do you say? This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down, and with his finger he wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. I love that verse. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and he said unto them, he that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and he wrote on the ground. And they which heard it were convicted by their own conscience. And they went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman was standing in the midst. And when Jesus had lifted up himself, he saw none of but the woman. And he said unto her, Woman, where are your accusers? Has no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. How could he say that? Because he had just set her free from the captivity of her sin. He just set her free of the compulsion of the sin that had racked her body. But you know what's really interesting in this passage? You know what it is? They're convicted of their own conscience and they get up and leave. And how does Scripture say they left? They left the oldest ones first and down to the youngest ones. You know why? Because they'd lived longer. That's why they're older. Sorry, that was a lame joke. But they'd lived longer. And I have to believe, every year of their life, they came to a new year. And they said, you know what? I'm going to do away with this sin. And every year, their sin returned. Because you cannot be set free if Jesus doesn't do it. I'm looking forward to a new year. I got to tell you, I don't know what this world has in store. I watch the news. I read the news. I see persecution coming. I see economic collapse coming. I see military issues coming. I see a culture that God has planted me in that is so contrary to Scripture and so contrary to Christ. I don't know what all of that has to do with anything. Because Jesus has planted me here. And he's given me a mission. Just like he has you. And he's put us here to be salt and light in this earth. He's put us here to be a witness of his saving grace. If you haven't read the back of your bulletin, don't read it now. Read it when you go home. It's very good. It'll change your view on the culture. But most importantly, I want to remind you of Isaiah chapter 61. You know this passage because you heard Jesus read it in Luke chapter 4 when they handed him the scroll. And Jesus said, Today, this is fulfilled in your ears. Luke chapter 61, The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. A slogan for the year, for 2023, in Jesus, I am indeed free in 2023. Trust him. Believe him. Lean on him. Anything in your life, he will give you a way out of that. He will provide your freedom from the sin that binds you up. In Jesus, I am indeed free in 2023. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, the saving work of Jesus is not only to save us from the condemnation of our sin, but rather, Lord, in agreement with that, is to save us from the power of sin. That your work, which begins on the day of our salvation, continues to work in our lives as we surrender ourselves to your will as our Lord, and as we live according to the truth, according to your word, according to Jesus. And as you begin and continue that work within us, Lord, we are called, Lord, then to trust you that you have begun a good work and you're going to see it through. We are called to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. We are called to look and examine ourselves. If we think we stand, take heed lest we fall. We are called, Lord, if we sin, to confess our sins, and you are faithful and just to forgive. But Lord, I believe today that the power of Christ residing within us is that which sets us at liberty from that which held us bondage. And I pray, Lord, today that we will each walk in the liberty that is in Jesus, no longer held in those bondage chains, those cords, no longer sold unto sin, but rather, Lord, set free by the liberator himself, the person of Jesus Christ. Oh, Lord God, to you be all glory. For all of this is in your Son, and so we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.